Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brickbolt Podcast, your hub for LEGO information, rankings, and more.
I'm Mickey, and that's Ohm, and today we're going to, well, you know, probably just yell very excitedly about Adventurers. One of the great classic LEGO themes that's not very classic, but still lives on today is one of those in our hearts. It's been a long time since we've got together and been able to record a show for you all. I will say it's not for a lack of interest, at least on my part, and I certainly hope so for Ohm's part. It's not certainly a lack of interest, it's more of a lack of time and presence of, at least for me, more pressing commitments and time-sensitive things, and I feel very sad that this has kind of been pushed to the side because I love it so much. But we are back and we hope to be able to be back in semi-full swing as far as that can be.
Yeah, so this is most likely due to personal engagements, conflicts of interest, and whatnot. This will most likely be the last episode until the summer that we're probably going to be able to record because with school, because we're still in school and we got finals and stuff.
So yeah, there's a lot that's been happening in really all the communities around the world because, you know, I haven't really talked about it a lot, but especially in the LEGO community, there's been a whole lot. We've seen an entire new wave for like almost every theme being released in the past couple months for January and March and a couple in February. And now as we are transitioning into the more spring releases and we are getting into rumor and leak season for summer, which I'm always excited for because those are all the great sets.
So we're not going to be talking too much about the leaks because of errors on when this episode could come out versus when we recorded it. However, the main thing, which is not a new piece of information, but I think would be important to have a very, very short, like 1 minute commentary on, is the 100 plus, 18 plus sets that will be coming out this year and that are still to come out. There's still going to be 100 sets. So
there's going to be so many. Oh, there's this whole new 18 plus, I guess you could call it 18 plus, sub theme.
I would say it's not even a sub theme. It's more of a super theme.
And how it's compiling everything about, it's compiling different sub themes in LEGO itself. You have, your ideas are transitioning into this overarching theme of 18 plus, which shifted from an age range to now its own like sub theme.
Yeah.
UCS sets, a lot of D2Cs, which for people who don't know what the acronym means, because leave me, I did not. D2C means direct to consumer, which is any really like large piece intensive set that stays exclusive to the shop at LEGO.com or the LEGO stores for a certain amount of time before it goes to retailers instead of going directly to retailers like most sets. So that would entail, like, for instance, from a couple years back, the Marvel Helicarrier, the giant version, or perhaps any of the Star Wars UCS sets. All of this stuff is what we're getting in this new 18 plus line with this black box art and then the uniquely colored Griebling all over wrapping the bottom. And I have to say, I really think it only works for specific ones, and I think it works best when they add stuff to it that makes it more unique than just a black box with some nice, like, one strip of colors on the bottom. I think when they add more stuff to it, otherwise it just looks kind of, like, dark and gloomy and not very appetizing, I guess I could say, to the customers.
Yeah, my two cents on it are I don't like the range for two or three strong reasons. First of all, I'm not a fan. I'm weird. I like sets with play value. I don't like the helmet collection. They're nice. They're not bad sets. They're good, very good sets. especially like most aspects of the Darth Vader one, but they're not playable whatsoever. So I'm not a fan of that. However, I understand why these exist. But my bigger concern is the 18 plus branding and the black. It makes it feel almost like inaccessible to teen fans of Lego and younger fans of Lego, especially when the parents are buying the sets, even if they're fully able, capable, and want to build these sets, is that it seems almost like a censorship because of the connotations of 18 plus. So if they had done something like 16 plus or just said advanced building, it and didn't change up the box to all black, it's limiting their appeal. So I would have preferred that. 2 cents over.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So how was your week? Have you gotten any new Lego sets?
There's been a couple of weeks, you know. Well, you know, the big one. We already talked about this before the show. But yesterday, I got the Lego Ideas 21326. Yeah, 21326 Winnie the Pooh set. I absolutely love. It was retailed for $100 with 5 characters, 4 minifigures. I have to say that because Eeyore, who I personally think is one of the best characters out of that set, is one single mold. Kind of amazes me. Looking at it right now, you have, of course, Winnie the Pooh, you have Tigger, you have Piglet, Rabbit, and then Eeyore. Pooh comes with a new head mold, dual molded arms. That's pretty nice. Rabbit comes with not printed legs, but it doesn't detract from it. A great torso and a dual molded head. That's also new. Piglet comes with just a new head mold. It's not dual molded, but it looks like it is, which is pretty cool. And then Tigger comes with arm printing, which looks really good. A printed version of the rubber backwards tail, if you know what I'm talking about. The tail that points out backwards, not the new one that points to the side. It's rubber, and that one is printed with a new print. And then he has a dual-molded unique helmet. Not helmet, what am I saying? A dual-molded unique head. And that's pretty nice. He's probably the most detailed and, I would say, accurate figure that I feel like... I feel like no one can say this isn't like accurate or anything. And I have to say, overall with the whole set, I was kind of worried that it wouldn't feel like it was worth the $100 price point, because I know I've seen people who say like, "Oh, the box is so small. How can it be that it's $100?" But when you open the box, it's like this is the smallest possible box size they could have gone with. Because there's so many bags in there. There are 7 bags in total, and they're all pretty filled up. And then when you stack them together along with, like, the sticker sheets, there's 2, but they're both very small. And the pretty thick instruction manual, then that fills up that box. And I have to say, the set as a whole is a lot larger than I would think. And it's a lot more detailed and really, really colorful. Yeah, it's really colorful, and it really conveys that sort of, like, spring feel, which I think is a really good idea that they released it now, instead of, like, I don't know, January, October, replace the blacksmith spot. So I think that was a good timing. But I do have to say the most I would probably pay for it would be $110. I would not do $120 for it. And that's just my 2 cents about it, I guess. It's a really good set, but I feel like it might be a little niche for some people. And yeah, that's pretty much what I got. Any thoughts or anything about your week, Owen?
As you'll soon hear, I was at the Lego store earlier today, and it was a great experience. I got some stuff, not too much stuff, but a few bits of stuff. And I saw Winnie the Pooh there. So to me, it doesn't look like the volume of stuff, 5 minifigures, just besides exclusivity and the size of the model is worth $100, But I do think that if you're the builder, the amount of detail you feel as you build it, and it probably feels worth a lot more. I'm a big Winnie the Pooh fan, so I was really going to get this set. Came out at the perfect time right at my birthday, but I didn't because I expected it to be about $60 looking at the amount of figures and the size of the submission. So I backed out.
Yeah. And I do have to say, it's very dense. The tree, the main tree build is very dense. There's no, it's not hollow or anything. It's completely filled with bricks and really interesting techniques that I've found. And the house itself, it's really funny because it doesn't look that big. It's there's 8 studs of space from wall to wall on the thinnest size, but it's all filled up with furniture and everything. I have been able to fit every single one of the characters inside of the house and able to close it without having to take out any of the furniture and make it I could open it up and then close it again and they wouldn't fall out or anything. This is going to be a hard one to convince people to buy, I think, unless they're very kind of obsessed with it or just love the characters and the stories, like me personally, I think. Because it doesn't feel like a lot, but it is a lot. It's just, and the build experience, the only repetitive part is the last 10 minutes or so, where you just have to build a bunch of leaves. The rest of it, there's no repetitive stuff. There's no parts where you have to build 7 of the same piece. It's a really rewarding experience to kind of see it come together. And also, again, it's just very dense build.
Alrighty. And that's your Lego acquisitions since
last meeting? Yeah, that's me. Anything for you, Ohm?
Yeah. So we have also conversed prior to recording. It was my birthday recently. Yay. And I got, and this was kind of left over from last holiday season as well, but basically combined gift, I got Diagon Alley, the big one. And it was an incredible build. Comes with 17 figures, 2 are mannequins. They're all exclusive to the set except the Hagrid. But over time, they're not going to be exclusive anymore. Their exclusive elements will no longer be exclusive. Like the robes on Draco are exclusive at the moment, but if they make another set, they won't be. So I wouldn't get it for the figures because they're going to be coming out in other sets. I think everyone except Florian Fortescue. And if you didn't get the other Garrick Ollivander, because he's $50. The build experience is excellent. However, if you are a perfectionist like me, it's going to be painful because there's 100 plus windows in that. And aligning all the window panes so the copyright is all uniform and the copyright little etching.
And the stickers.
So there's 100 plus stickers. There's
Did
not
you put any of them on?
100% all of them.
I know some people who don't put them on, so.
I like the stickers when they add. I have the need to follow the instructions 100%, so I put the stickers. I actually, and maybe because this was I pre-ordered it, all of my stickers were not good. Half of them, they were all cut off center. Some of them were significantly off center on the Ollivander sign. So I had to order replacements from Lego.
Yeah, I was going to say if they're too messed up, then if the cut marks for the actual sticker parts are off, then you can definitely go and ask for. So that's good that you did.
Yeah, so it was pretty therapeutic. I did the whole thing just listening to Harry Potter music. It was really relaxing. I did over a month and a half on the weekends, just for a few hours a day. And yeah, I savored it. It was a really excellent build. There's lots of amazing techniques. And I can't say this enough. When you look at the box, and you look at each building, if you pick the one that's your favorite, once you're done with the whole build experience, that building is probably still going to be your favorite at the end of the day. Each building you build becomes better as you progress throughout. It's really well designed in just the way you build the actual set instructions. And then at the end, you feel super accomplished. You open the little secret box that's inside, and everything looks perfect. And there's an immense amount of detail. And they're slightly shorter than modular scale. So if you wanted to convert them into a modular, you basically just need to do sidewalk and they're good to go. The well, other
thank you, Ohm, for that glowing review. Sorry to cut you off. Anything else?
Yeah. I also got, because of the time, I got the vintage car and the Monster Book of Monsters. They're quite nice sets. The vintage car, especially my box. Oh, and the ice skating rink. Just because of the times I ordered some of my stuff.
Yeah. But
yes, they're very nice. And I'm not going to go too much further on it. And I also got 10 blind bags from the last Harry Potter series, because at my local Lego store, they're on discount for like $1.50 off.
Wow.
And I wanted a lot of those figures. So I got a bunch of them. I have, because I got 10 and I have several dupes, there's some of them that I am looking to sell. So yeah, but I got some that I wanted.
That's good. Okay. Transitioning to our topic. One of the classic themes, even though it's not like, I wouldn't say like super classic.
So it started in 98. It lasted till 2003. They took a year off in 2002. We're going to be covering Lego Adventurers. The main character from Adventurers, Johnny Thunder, made an appearance in the Lego movie and the more recent collectible minifigures. I'm not counting that because they're not really adventure sets. But in Jurassic Park 3 sets licensed under Lego Studios.
He also appeared, Johnny Thunder also appeared in, he appears in like almost every Legoland park. Well, I don't know about almost everyone, but there's a ride that I do not remember the name of that is a shooting dark ride where you have little like pistol things and you're riding a Jeep through an Egyptian temple and you meet Sam Sinister, if it is Sam Sinister. I don't know if it's Sam Sinister or Baron Von Baron. They're like the same person, aren't they? You meet Johnny Thunder, all the crew. So just wanted to note that, because I thought that was pretty cool that Lego recognized the, staying power of the franchise, even after the theme ended.
So a few more disclaimers that we got to rattle off before we really get into it, but they are informative disclaimers. There's some duplicate sets in like brick set and wonky set names. Like, what was it? There's a set, Johnny Thunder and Baby T, released in the US. It's Johnny Thunder with a cart and a baby Tyrannosaurus Rex. They also released a bunch of them, given away polybag sets with Kabaya Suites in Japan. And I think they're lost in translation because the set in Japan is Jones and Baby Tyrannosaurus.
Indiana.
So they're also, yeah, and there's tons of tiny polybags, which is like a minifigure or a minifigure in a small vehicle. But we're not going to get into that much. I also need to cover a more serious matter. I am personally biased against this line. Specifically, Orient Expedition, quote unquote, the line during 2003, the last line. The whole thing was produced basically during Lego's own Dark Ages when they were not producing the best of sets, though there are some great looking cars here. However, Orient, quote unquote, Expedition enforced a lot of negative racial stereotypes, specifically propagated by Indiana Jones, which this was influenced by, that affect me and others around the world. So I don't consider basically half of the sets produced by this line to be Lego.
I think it's really important to not treat something as like something to put in a museum, not treat something to be like forever unchanging. People talk about this a lot. Some people might know that I'm a huge fan of Disneyland and Disney in general. And whenever they change something with a ride or attraction there that's been there for a while, there's always this huge outcry. And people need to understand that change is good and change is nearly always necessary for a good reason. Because if you don't change anything, then it becomes outdated and unwanted, and in some cases, it can become offensive to people.
The main protagonists during this line are, they have different names, but the main ones that, the names that I came across were Johnny Thunder, Gale Storm, and Dr. Charles Lightning. The antagonists are, usually, during the jungle phase, neither of them appear, but Sam Sinister and or Baron Von Baron. They are not the same person, as in, because in the first adventure sets, they both appear side by side in the same set. So they must be like partners or something. They must be partners in crime.
I was not aware of that. I thought that they were the same person. Maybe it's just a whole, the whole mustache twirling villain stereotype. So I know throughout the four phases, there was the Egyptian phase, which was started in 1998. Then there was the jungle, like the Amazon jungle phase in 1999. Then there was the Dino Island phase in 2000, the next year. And then they skipped over to 2003, which was their final year with the Orient Expedition through India, China, and Nepal. And these four themes kind of made it kept the theme fresh. It didn't stagnate it. And it was interesting to kind of see the different locales that the adventurers team went to.
Do you have any comments on these? These are all the largest sets that they produced. So I don't recall off their names, but there's the big desert thingy. I can't tell if it's a temple. There's a really rainbow Amazon ancient ruins. There's like a dragon temple or palace, I believe. Scorpion Palace. Some Orion Expedition.
No, that's not the Scorpion Palace.
Okay, I must be confused.
Sorry, the Scorpion Palace is the, I don't know what it is. It's not that one. And then there's the Dino, like, Expedition. Have always had a soft spot for the, original Egyptian one. Because I don't know, there's just something about it that I always have liked. But I also do really like the Dino HQ one. And you might not like this, but in specific instances, I like the builds of the Orient Expedition one. I really like, there's one set with the Yeti in it. And I need to find it, but there was something about that that I really liked. There are some weird things about Adventurers, but I have to say the builds to me seemed they seemed really ahead of their time, and we kind of saw like revised versions of these in some versions. Like, I know some versions of the sets from the Egyptian expedition kind of moved over and were, I wouldn't say remade, but like reinterpreted into the Pharaoh Quest line in 2010, I believe. So it's interesting to see the reinvention of stuff.
Yeah, I think the big Chinese, quote unquote, well, I mean, whatever this is, it looks really weird. It's built on a ramp and pit plate. I think it looks not bad, besides like the horrible imitation. As a Lego set, it's not too bad. They did a decent job. I really like the Egyptian, quote unquote, line. I mean, it's pretty close. But with the exception of the large set, they all actually look really good. And they look fairly realistic and historically accurate in that, yeah, there were people from Britain in helicopters and planes and hot air balloons and roadsters driving around in Egypt looking for ancient ruins and treasures. So I found a few sets that I really liked. 5920 Island Racer from Dino Island is this really nice looking set. It has Baron von Varen in a racing helmet, and he looks like a really cool figure. And then he has this really tiny hot rod, and it's like red and black. It just looks really good. It's super tiny. It's a really tiny set, but it looks good. It looks fast. So I think that's something they did right. And also 5938 Oasis Ambush from the Egyptian thing in 98. I think this is a great example of a very small set. This was $8. But excluding price, there's like a skeleton mummy. There's Sam Sinister. There's Johnny Thunder. And he can, for some reason, he's going to pull a spear. And that causes a booby trap to open up underneath a statue of a jackal. And scorpions and some money comes out. I think this is just a really creative set. It's a simple set. And there's a great use of a black treasure chest to represent the main body of the jackal. I think it's great parts usage. And it's a very nice set. It's a set I would buy.
Okay, so a couple of the sets that I've found interesting, looking at the brick set pages, of course. Of course, I think that the flagship sets, for the most part, look really good. I really like, there's something about the Dino Island, like, HQ set that I have always found interesting, how it's a more rustic look. Again, I like the $8 set called the Oasis Ambush. I think that that's a really cool set. I think it's a good value, and just like a fun play feature. And another set that I found that I think is pretty cool, it's a $20 set called Desert Expedition, and it comes with a little terrain build with a palm tree and some rocks, a sarcophagi, I don't know how to say it, which one it is, a pretty unique looking biplane, and then a car with both of the villains. Now I realize that there are two villains, yes. And this comes with four minifigures plus a skeleton, and then like three scorpions and a ton of what I assume to be prints that all look exclusive to at least the theme. And I just think that's a pretty cool set that I would probably get. Also, looking at the 1999 Amazon Jungle theme, I have found a set that looks kind of ridiculous. It is the $20 set, although I feel like the prices are not really correct for our modern inflation rates. It is the set, the Expedition Balloon. And what's interesting about the set is that the balloon is composed of at least two or three pieces, and it looks like a giant zeppelin. And then there's this little like tiny like boat build that's like hung underneath it by some Technic beams, and there's just a giant anchor next to it, and it looks so silly, but it also looks like such a fun set to have, and that enormous piece looks so interesting. Another set that I found interesting is a $30 set, the set 5958 Mummy's Tomb. This comes with, again, four minifigures. A really interesting mummy embalmed pharaoh character. Some really cool printed pieces. And then it comes with a rotating feature in a tomb, a obelisk, a sort of statue with a really cool trap where if you move over the actual statue, a little tray with spears will fall out and hit you. And then, again, the seemingly ubiquitous expedition-type car. That is from the Desert Expedition. And there's a lot of really interesting sets in these things.
I am wholeheartedly glad that they resurrected the cockpit piece. Not the cockpit, the seating area piece that they just used. It's a big one piece, but it looks good. And they stopped using it after, I think, the Indiana Jones sets. He brought it back with Hidden Side last year. And it looks excellent. It just really gives a nice classic roadster feel to a car. And it allows you to seat two figures in the car very easily. So I'm a big fan of that piece. Even though it's very prefab, I think it's worth it for the appearance.
There's one more set that I would like to talk about, and that is the $50 set 5978 Sphinx Secret Surprise, which has, I know you don't like them, but this is just really cool. It has a uniquely molded terrain base plate, which could possibly be better built out of bricks, but probably weren't available at the time of 1998. It comes with a solid 6 minifigures plus a skeleton, so I mean you could call it 7. And then it comes with a kind of like a rainbow sphinx, a couple obelisks, a unique fabric tent, which I think is interesting and kind of sad that hasn't shown up recently. And then what's interesting to me is an unprinted black coffin sarcophagus.
First of all, I miss them doing coffins like this. They did this for the studio sets, doing the lid with the actual shape of the person inside. So they had like a, I don't know what you call it, not engraving, but the other way. They have a, you can see a sphinx, an embalmed pharaoh who's just like, you can see a silhouette and it's not a print, it's an actual mold. And they did that with the vampires too. So it tells you what's inside and it just looks really awesome. Also, just pull up a picture of the set. It's Lego set 5978. And just the weirdest thing is out of the middle of this Sphinx, because remember, it's about the secret surprise. There is, you guessed it, there's just a mummy who's like sliding out of the chest of the Sphinx on like a sled or a go-kart.
I assume it's a throne.
Yeah, but I don't know why. Why is the throne moving? It's like the throne go-kart. It's just the weirdest thing.
I mean, there's probably not wheels, but... And you know, those are just the main ones that I think are pretty cool. They're all pretty cool. A lot of the strange, like, mega creatures for the Island Expedition... Not the Island Expedition, sorry. The Orient Expedition theme are kind of strange. Like, for instance, there's one that's just a giant tiger. There's one that's the Yeti. There's one that's a giant dragon. They're all kind of weird. There's a lot of cool sets. Probably for me, the weakest sets are either the Amazon sets or the Orient Expedition sets. I really like the Egyptian ones and Dino Island. Adventures is a very, very, very varied theme with a lot of unique ideas, I will say. I feel like not a lot of things get repeated, except for maybe like side builds get elevated to more major builds in other sets. And I like how it's able to kind of convey an overarching story by almost like trying to connect the sets into a story, even if you might not actually see them as connecting.
I think you're right. I think this is similar to the spiritual predecessor to, say, the Lego Agents sets that we had in the 2008, 2009, where they were all very connected. Like, they had missions and characters to develop. Like, a character captured in a set at a lower price point, in the bigger price point, was now being broken out of jail. They had a story that you could see looking at the sets, and that really went through to other sets. So I think its influence on adding story lives on.
So Adventurers, please give us a reboot. You know, just give us a reboot. Give us, even if you don't even give us new Indiana Jones sets, this is a way to give us Indiana Jones sets. And I would just really like to see something new with this, even if it's just like a reboot of the existing Egyptian thing. I'm fine with that. Or maybe they could do something with the Mayans or the Aztecs. They could do something with like Europe, like they go to Rome, or like, I feel like it can be branched out to more, to less like remote places. Kind of bring that expedition feel closer to wherever you can be.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind having Adventures back again, but I think that it's kind of come back in a lot of different ways. For example, the Egypt line came back in a very similar way to Pharaoh's Quest. Now, Pharaoh's Quest was exclusive to Egypt, but it had the very similar idea of explorers themed. There was a team and they were exploring, but instead they were fighting because Legos turn into a lot more fighting nowadays. They made dinos again. In Ninjago, currently they're doing a sort of Islanders sort of thing, which seems kind of sketchy, but hey, I don't know. But yes, it's been coming back in a lot of ways. And the jungle theme, I think, is an excellent example. Those were really great sets. Now just imagine if the jungle sets that they made a few years back came with Adventures minifigs. That would have been perfect. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Brick Bolt Podcast.
If you want to help us continue with the show, please rate us on whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to us. It really helps. Also, please subscribe to our show so that you can be one of the first to know when we have a new show up on.
Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just ask your smart home to play the Brick Bolt Podcast.
Make sure to spread the word.
Thanks for listening and have a great
adventure.